Father, I truly do thank you for meeting us here tonight. I know, Father, that you took us to the throne room. And Father, I also know that great and powerful work was done. God saying, what is it you have need of? I am supplying it right now. Just receive it. If God is working with you, just go ahead and let him work. I need to give out this word that God gave me this morning for the church. I've entitled it Quick Works. You know, before I started this, I just want to say that God gave me this vision when I was sitting there. It's a vision of something that happened in this church. And I believe the reason why God gave it to me was to let me know what's going to happen again. I had a group of men in the church who loved me. They respected me. They honored me. And the glory of God fell at every service. We had miracles every service. And one day I came in and I walked back there by the sound booth. And I heard the men say, three of them, say, here she comes, we got her. And I knew they were going to lay hands on me. I said, no, 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 please don't. And they did. And I went instantly into the spirit, but I said, God, who's going to take over the pulpit if I'm laying here on the floor? Well, there was a pastor there, and he had a 2-year-old granddaughter. God used that 2-year-old granddaughter to perform miracles. Oh, I was laying out on the floor. There was no preaching, no nothing. God just directed the grandfather to go around to certain people. In fact, it was everybody. And people were laid down on the floor. And God did what he wanted to do. And I know that's where God's taken us once again. But what amazed me was it was the men who loved me and had respect for me. There's no jealousy in a man like that, you know, when a group of men love you like that. And they weren't trying to be better than me or greater. And this is where God is taking us to, where we will minister in one mind, in one accord, be no jealousy, no top dog, no bottom dog, just God's children. Open and obedient to be used by the Father in whatever way he wants to use them. All right? I know that's where God's taken us to. All right, let's hear what God has to say to us today. I am doing a quick and mighty works in this hour, a works that many will write about thousands upon you. A works that many will write about. Thousands upon thousands will have their names written down in glory, and you are an integral part of that movement. Do you see how important your position is in Christ? Each one of you in here, there's a special anointing on each one of you. And God is wanting you to know that he's going to use you to bring about the glory and to do great mighty works for him. Eye has not seen nor ear heard what I'm going about to do with my people from every tongue and nation. And the scripture for that is 1 Corinthians 2:9. God says, bridle not my servants, saith the Lord God Almighty, because I am moving through them in this hour with a plan and a purpose that will restore my kingdom. See what he says there. Do not bridle not my servants, saith the Lord God Almighty, because I am moving through them in this hour with a plan and a purpose that will restore my kingdom. God has told about everybody in here, close the voices of the people out and hear my voice only. And see, sometimes people will speak negatively into our ears, and that will bridle us. It will stop us from moving forward. And so God said, don't do that. Each one of us in here, God is going to use mightily. He's not leaving one of you out. If you miss God's movement, it's you that does it. Because up to this point, everybody in this room is going to be used by God. God said, there is no other time in history recorded where you will find what I'm about to do. You're not going to find this in His Word. That's what He just said. I am on a strict timetable, and this is the time for all things to come to a heightened place in my kingdom right now. My kingdom will invade the earth one more time, and the catching away will occur. If it was not so, I would not have spoken it. Woe unto those prophets who prophesied false prophecies and caused my people to stumble and fall. Don't you move one step without my guidance. One wrong step and this will all be over. You were predestined for such a time as this. See what he says, one wrong step and this will all be over, whatever God was trying to use you for. Right now, so many people are saying, God's telling me to move, you know, to a different state. God's telling me to move here. God's telling me to move there. No, he's not. He's telling you to be still. The enemy doesn't want you to step into your destiny. It's the enemy that's telling you to move, gather up your stuff and move, not God. Believe me, if I heard your post move, I'd say, go pack your bags and get out of here. I don't want to hinder what God's doing to you. Then God said, my glory will invade the earth and accomplish all that I send it forth to accomplish. You see that in Numbers. I'm giving you these scriptures so if you want to study them later. Numbers 14:21 and Isaiah 6:3. Many are standing at the valley of decision, and they do not know which way to turn. Look around about you. What do you see? Utter chaos everywhere. God said, how many times do I have to say, come up hither? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Right now. Don't sit with a simpleton. Don't be sidetracked by the cares of this world. Stay close to the cross and follow me. The tribulations that are coming upon the nations will not touch those who are engrafted into the vine. The scriptures for that is Romans 10, verses 11 through 13. God said, you need to listen for my still small voice that will tell you what your position is in this end time plan. And you find that in 1 Kings 19, 11 through 13. Many are perishing for lack of knowledge, but I do not desire that any should perish. Each of you has a unique calling upon your life. See what it said, each of you. So, and that's in Hosea 4:6. If you do not know that calling, I want to reveal it to you this night. If you do not know that calling, I want to reveal it to you this night. This will become a night of remembrance to each one of you. There will be no second guessing what I have planned for you. You will know with surety of heart that you have heard my voice and you will follow it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I deliver them out of them all. You'll see that in Psalm 34:19. That is my promise to you. There is no one that isn't covered with the blood sacrificed by my son. See that? No one. Everybody is covered. Purity of heart is what I'm calling each one of you to be. The impure of heart cannot hear my still small voice of instruction. But you little ones, you hear my voice and you are standing in the gap for a society of people that once knew me but have walked away. I desire to bring my prodigals home, but I need the intercessors. Let's go back and read that paragraph. Listen to what God said. Purity of heart is what I'm calling each one of you to be. The impure of heart cannot hear my still small voice of instruction. But you, little ones, you hear my voice, and you are standing in the gap for a society of people that once knew me but have walked away. I desire to bring my prodigals home, but I need the intercessors. This is a time when God wants to bring the prodigals home. Quit looking at what caused him to be a prodigal and start looking at what God sees and pray them in. Many voices in the communities, but not all are true voices. Holiness brings forth the truth of my word. Holiness brings forth the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage to the enslaved. Holiness brings forth the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage to the enslaved. Holiness is a calling for those who have ears to hear. I don't care what you're trying to do for Father, you have to walk in holiness or you won't be able to accomplish it. You won't be able to hear the voice of God clearly. It will be garbled in some way. So the impure of heart are trying to get out there and do what Jesus did, and they can't because they are not meeting God's criteria. God said, so many have ears filled up with the garbage of the world, and all they hear is garbage. Do you understand how many believe the lie that they are going to heaven, even with the stench of sin on their clothes? The truth must be told to get them out of this delusion. I have handpicked some of you here this night. Now listen to what he's saying. I have handpicked some of you here this night to be carriers of this holiness and to be the truth carrier to set them free. Never ever look back. Keep your eyes on the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You'll find that in Philippians 3:14. I am on a momentum move, and I am not going to stop. If you hesitate even for one moment, that will be one moment too long. You see that? When God tells you to do something, you have to do it immediately. You can't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. He said, if you hesitate even for one moment, that will be one moment too long. So what's he telling you to do? He's telling you to work at walking in holiness. Right? The enemy is very sly and cunning. He sneaks in while you are sleeping at your post, and he becomes the fox that spoils the vine. And you can find that in Song of Solomon 2:15. Then God said, the enemy is a retard. He is a simpleton. He has no couth. You can spot him a mile off, and you can smell his poignant odor of evil. Be ever on the alert. For the enemy is not playing. This is his last ditch move to destroy all that is good. Evil will not prevail. The cross made sure of that. My goodness shall cover the earth one more time, and then the great departure. All those who would not bow their knee will be left behind, and then the torrent of great destruction will begin. Great sorrow everywhere. Happiness will be no more. Great gnashing of teeth. Cries of repentance heard all across the land, but too late. The enemy will have his way. Woe upon woe all across the great nations. Much weeping. This is written in my book for all to read. But many who read and heard scoffed, saying, this will not happen. Those were defeated words. Hell's gates are open wide, and many are falling into the abyss daily. Some because they have not heard the truth, and others because they scoffed at my words. Do not be one of those who think they have one more day to walk in sin. You may never see that one more day. Repentance is right now. Total salvation is right now. I stand at the door and knock. Are you listening for the knock? And that's in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be with him. God goes on to say, holiness, holiness, holiness is the word of the hour. True righteousness is attainable. Repent, turn away from your wicked ways, and really receive me as King of Kings. You find that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The lip service you offered me meant nothing. I need true heartfelt repentance and then walking out your victory. Now, right now is the hour of true salvation. Do not wait 1 minute longer. Find that in 2 Corinthians 6:2. That picture of false perfection that you show to the world does not affect me. Remember, I know the truth. I know the true heart. And that's in 1 Chronicles 28:9 and 1 Samuel 16:7. The only person you are lying to is yourself. You profess to be my child when in fact you don't even know me. I am calling the nations to true repentance. I need those who are sold out to me 100% to go to the nations, tell them the truth, and set them free. Remember, God told me, I can't use 99% of you. I need 100%. That 1% you're holding back is causing you to lose out. And I sold out to God 100%. There's a cost for the anointing. Not many are willing to pay that cost. But I'm believing everyone in here is willing to pay that cost. Praise me in the holy place, and then go forth and work the works while it is still day. You'll see that in John 9:4. My angelic host will go with you. And as you step out in faith, proclaiming victory to the multitudes of broken ones, my angels will do the works. Recruiting time. This is a time I am recruiting an entirely different kind of warrior for this great warfare that is looming across the nations. They shall be like those in Joel chapter 2. You'll find that in Joel 2, 1 through 11. They will be fearless. They will tear down the kingdom of darkness. They will have no fear. They are a group of Davids that know their God and will do great exploits for the kingdom of heaven. They will not march to the drumbeat of the world because they have been given their marching orders from heavenly places, and they will have a different rhythm in their steps, a rhythm of warfare. I could actually, as God was giving this to me, I could hear the warriors marching, hear the clanking of their armor, and hearing victory in their voices. God said they will show love and compassion to a lost and dying world. You have never seen such an army, and you will never see this kind of army again. They are a special breed. They were earmarked to do battle, and they have learned all the battle strategies well. Wait and see, you just wait and see. You do not believe there is such an army, but they are coming upon the scene. They know what it is to be bound and know what it is to be totally free. I have freed them up. The enemy has no hold on them. This is an army of overcomers that heard my word, felt the sting of the darkness, and decided to be different. They decided to fight to the bitter end. They are overcomers. We're supposed to be peculiar people. We aren't supposed to fit in with the world. People are supposed to talk about us. They are supposed to spit on our faces. Because we are peculiar. We don't march to their drumbeat. Amen. If you want to fit into the world, if you don't want to be an outcast, then you aren't one of God's. This army knows the sting of bondage, and they have felt the sweet taste of freedom. They have become weary of the enemy always winning. Now they are out for blood. Now they are carrying the cross. to the nation. They are removing the foreclosure notices placed on the people. They are fighting to the end. They will never give up their positions. They are committed. That's one problem with the body of Christ. Nobody's committed. When the Spirit of God's moving, you'll jump through the fire. But when it's not moving, you forget you said that. You're just not committed. Do not suppose that I will not hear the cries of the broken ones. I am listening for those cries even as we speak. I am bringing justification to my people. The world will turn to love. The world, they are already weary of all the hate mongrels and the devastation that is taking place all across the nations because of hate. Let's read that again. The world will turn to love. They are already weary of all the hate mongrels and the devastation that is taking place all across the nations because of hate. I am rewashing my children's dirty ears, and I'm allowing them to hear the truth about a loving Father who cares about the hairs on their head. And you can read that in Matthew 10:30 and Luke 12:7. And these verses imply that God knows every detail of your life, even the number of hairs on your head, and he will protect you and provide for you. You have nothing to fear. You're in the hands of a true Father, and he loves you truly and desperately. There's no way he's going to allow the enemy to destroy you. Well, we all have to go through our Job experiences. We all have to be tried and tested to prove. We all have to go through our siftings. We have to be let. God has to let the enemy see that he cannot break us. Some of you have been broken over and over and over again, but God doesn't want the enemy to. He does not want you to allow the enemy to break you. Why do you keep getting broken? Because you're not trusting the true Father. You're not dying out to yourself. You're not paying the price. And God said, rise up, mighty army. Rise up into the newness of life. Never go back into the valleys of despair. Truth and love will prevail. It costs me a lot for this church to be open this long. It costs me a lot to walk in those first 30 years of miracle after miracle after miracle. It costs me a lot to walk in the last 10 years of utter devastation. But I was willing to pay the price because God called me to save souls. And if you really want to save souls, you're going to pay a price. Satan's just not going to let you loose and let you destroy his kingdom. He's going to come after you with everything he has. And when he can't get you, then here's what he told me. I can't get you, but I can get your kids. He will start on your family. He'll start on your kids. You're just going to have to stay the course. You're going to have to watch your children as they go through trouble after trouble after trouble. And they go through that because one thing, you're preaching the word. And the second thing is they won't yield to the call of God on their life. They wouldn't have to go through near the trouble that they're going through if they would just yield their members. And so you've paid the price, and you're still paying a price, because there's not a mother or father sitting in this room tonight that wants to see their children suffer. And if you lived a good life before them, and if they've gone astray, they'll eventually come back to that good life. Bring your children up in the way of the Lord, and they will never depart from it. And it hurts. We all know this, mothers. It hurts really bad. And you go before the Father, but you know, crying and weeping and please make this stop. But God had to watch Jesus be crucified. And I can guarantee you, he did not have pleasure in that. And I can guarantee you it makes him mad whenever children of God sitting in a house of God walk all over that blood, walk all over the Holy Spirit. I guarantee it, because that's what he told me. It makes him livid. But there's grace. There's grace. But there's going to come a day when that grace is going to stop. And which side of the dividing line will you be standing on? I want you really to get this engraved in your spirit tonight. You know, I got up this morning thinking I already had all my, I had my plan, my teaching and everything. And I got up and did my Bible study, and then I got the prophetic word, and then God said, now let's you and I get down to business. And then he gave me this for tonight. I wasn't expecting another word, because the other one I was going to teach was a word from Sunday morning. Less. God loves you. I love you. And I don't want to see you perish. God told me not one time, he told me more one time, you will never have to back up to me on judgment day. You can walk boldly to me, facing me. And the only reason why I can do this is because I paid a price over and over and over again. I can do it. You guys can do it. Your flesh is holding you back. Nothing else. It's your flesh. Satan can't hold you back unless you want him to. Well, you just don't understand how hard I'm trying to get out of it. Well, evidently not hard enough. Because you're still in your sin. You have not yet crucified all that you need to crucify. And God will encourage you right up until the day you go to hell. Because his word tells you he doesn't want anybody to perish. Then when you end up in hell, he will walk the corridors of hell weeping over you because you didn't have to be there. But if God say, you're only fooling yourself. You're not fooling him. This is a message tonight, twofold. One thing, God wants you to get it together totally and completely, 100%. He wants the body of Christ to stay in tune to him and hear his voice and then be used to win others to Christ. Not everybody's going to love you. Not even your family members are going to love you. They spoke all manner of evil. His own family said he wasn't Christ. So why do you think you'll be any different? Stop looking for praise. Stop looking for somebody to glorify you. It is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I could care less if I sit behind this pulpit, except for one thing, and that's God won't let me stop. The price has been hard at times. I've watched things deteriorate out of my life that has broken me, really. I told my daughter a couple weeks ago, I said, I'm fighting depression right now because I'm watching my home being devastated by the enemy, taking everything I hold dear away from me. Job lost his home too, didn't he? He lost his children. He lost his health. He lost his friends. But he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. Did he moan and groan and complain? He sure did. And see, I'm saying all that to say this. God told us that the church is going through a Job experience. I want you to quit blaming people for what's going on in your life. You need to thank God that he knows that you're strong enough to carry it. That he knows that your knees won't buckle under the load he's allowing you to carry to prove a point to the enemy. No, life is not the same. I'm old enough to remember the days when it was a whole lot of fun. But it's not going to get any different either. It's going to keep growing darker. But God said that his love was going to return back to America. And with those few that will turn from hate to love, God is going to set up his kingdom again. And he's going to bring in, he's already doing it, and he's already starting to bring in the harvest. And then the great tribulation follows that. Because God told us when we started this new dispensation of time, this new 40 years, he said, you're working on the second return of my son, Jesus. And the great harvest has to be brought in for Jesus to return. I don't know about you, but I really get upset about those who have tasted the goodness of God, then trampled it under their feet. And then here stands God, our Father, using a prophet to say, come on, you can do this. God uses me many times to speak sweet, swelling words into people's lives that I know that are working for the devil with everything they have. But God is an encouraging God. And he doesn't put you down, he encourages you. And what does happen, though, whenever you just won't listen, he turns you over to reprobate mind, then he doesn't speak to you at all. If you get what you want, if that's what you want, then God, he won't waste his time on you. So everybody in here tonight, you know God's still speaking great swelling words over to you, even though you know that you sinned before you even came into the house of God. Don't play games with that. God said that dispensation of time is coming to an end. And he's requiring, commanding, complete holiness. You understand that? One thing God said, many are perishing for the lack of knowledge, but I do not desire that any should perish. Each of you has a unique calling upon your life. If you do not know that calling, I want to reveal it to you this night. This will become a night of remembrance to each one of you. There will be no second guessing what I have planned for you. You will know with surety of heart that you have heard my voice and you will follow it. When God spoke that to me, what I saw was you guys lining up, me speaking into your life, just short phrase of what you're supposed to be doing, and moving on to the next person. Now, if you want to know for sure with the surety of heart, without any doubt, what God is calling you to do, we're going to do that tonight, but I want to warn you. Don't come up here playing games with God. Because once he tells you what you are supposed to be doing, then he expects action. And action speaks louder than words. God's tired of the playing. And he wants sincerity now. So if you're ready to hear what you're really, and it's not going to be a long prophetic word. So I'm not going to speak volumes into your life. God's done that many times and you still haven't digested that yet. He's just going to tell you a simple phrase.